Your name, please?
David Frost.
And your occupation and position?
Occupation, I guess, television. Position, my own boss.
Mr. Frost, what is there about guests, about people, that keep millions of viewers watching and listening to your interviews every week?
My viewpoint is really that what keeps people watching and so on is the feeling that people are coming over as they really are, that people are saying something maybe they've never said before, coming over as they really are, coming across not as an image of themselves, but the way they actually are personally. And that's why my task, my job, is to help people to forget they're on television and to be themselves.
This is Viewpoint, a series of unrehearsed and personal interviews with people from all walks of life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a news and public affairs program of the station. Today's guest is David Frost, television performer, film producer, writer, and host of The David Frost Show. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, David Frost, and thank you for allowing us to visit with you here in your office.
It's a delight to have you here.
How did you happen to get started in TV?
Well, the love affair with television, I guess, began while I was at Cambridge, in the sense that before I went to Cambridge, I had a free year in which I taught, because I sort of knew what I was going to be involved in, the writing and the appearing and the producing later. And I thought the two things I'd love to do while I'm at Cambridge is to run the Footlights and edit Granter, and I was fortunate enough to do both. And at the same time, I started doing television in Norwich, which was in that region of England, East Anglia, for Anglia Television, which was the commercial television station for that part of the country, Anglia Television. My dear father, who was a Methodist minister, as you know, he thought for a time, I think, that it was Anglican Television. He thought it was an Episcopalian foundation of some sort, but it was a very much a profit-making body in Norwich. And I did television for them, and that's when the television started. So that when I left Cambridge, I had to decide whether to do the writing and the editing or the performing or the television bit by day and which by night. And I decided television by day and the others by night.
You have a program in England as well as the program here, I understand.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's a talk show, rather like this one. Last winter in England, what I did was that I did some programs that were mainly talk with very little entertainment, and some that were mainly entertainment with very little talk. Here, of course, one has the joy of everything all in one program, the entertainment and the talk. The series I'm just about to do in England will be predominantly talk with some entertainment.
How do you go about choosing your guests? How do you make up your mind who you're going to have on your program?
Chemistry, I think that's it, or what one imagines is chemistry. Rapport, in the sense that it's no good, I think, having anyone who you're not interested in at all. From some point of view, you've got to be interested in them. Now, it may not be because they're the most fascinating person in the world or that they're your greatest hero. Do you know what I mean? It may not be that at all. It may be you're interested in the phenomenon of their success or one aspect of what they've done or one thing they said or whatever, but you must have an interest, I think, in them in some way. And it's that chemistry that there's always got to be. But I think you've got to be born with an innate sense of curiosity, really. And luckily I was.
You mentioned heroes. I know you very often ask people on your program whom their heroes were, and I've never heard you say who your heroes might have been.
That's interesting. I would say that in the area of communications and so on, what I do, I would say my hero is probably Ed Murrow, in the sense that I think in terms of what he brought to broadcasting and what he, in terms of integrity and in terms of conviction, was something really special. And he said some marvelous things about television. For instance, on one occasion he said, this instrument, television, can entertain, it can inform, it can even inspire, but it all depends on the will of the humans who operate it. Otherwise it is just lights and wires in a box. In the sphere of life in general, in terms of what he simply achieved in his life, in terms of not wasting time, because I'm a great believer that one shouldn't waste the time or talents one may have been fortunate enough to have been given. I suppose Julius Caesar, in a way, I mean, achieved so much. in terms of the way that he wrote about love, someone like John Donne, or John Donne, depending on whether you prefer Don or Dunn as the pronunciation of D-O-N-N-E.
When you're getting ready for a show and you picked your guests, do you have any set routine or any kind of way you approach preparing yourself?
Apart from doing a lot of homework and reading, which I believe in passionately, no, it varies. I mean, some people you want to meet beforehand for a few minutes. Some you want to say hello and welcome to in the 2 minutes before the program. And some, it just varies. I think that if the price of liberty is eternal vigilance, so is the price of unpredictability on television. And you can't make a rule. There is no rule. There is no formula. There is no secret ingredient. Do you know what I mean?
How important is the audience, or not only the audience in the building with you, but the people that are watching or going to be watching?
Oh, tremendous. And the dialogue one has with them, and the letters, and one goes through all the letters, not all the letters, but as many of the letters as one can. This is tremendously valuable for giving you an idea, a feeling of when you're in touch with what people care about and so on, because this is the thing, I think, that, there is no limit. Because the public's much more intelligent than it's taken for and so on, there is no limit to what you can deal with in terms of dealing with a subject ambitiously, as long as you start with a subject that means something to people, that has a relevance. I mean, I don't think you can do a program on Etruscan art, for instance, for a mass audience, but on the other hand, take a program on marriage or something like that, or Vietnam. There is no limit to how serious, no limit to how ambitious you can be, because everybody has got something valuable to tell you about what they watched, or why they watched it, or how they watched it.
I've noticed that you have a number of talk shows now that are 90 minutes long with one person.
Right.
Do you find that people will listen and stay with you on this?
Before we started the series last June or July, I would say to people that, the rule, which they knew about, was that most conversations and talk shows are 8 or 9 minutes long, do you know what I mean? And then they bring on someone else. And I said, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't have conversations that are 20 minutes long. And this was amazing, this was unthought of. And now here we are, a bit over a year later, doing lots of 90-minute programs. And the response has been phenomenal. I mean, people love them. I mean, obviously they've got to have diversity and change of pace and all of that sort of thing about them. But the response to them has been huge, right from when we did the very first one with Peter Ustinov, and then we followed up with, as you know, Jackie Gleason, Johnny Carson, Sammy Davis, Richard Elizabeth, Jack Benny, Orson Welles, and so on.
I know you've done a series of people of different kinds. For example, and I'd like to ask about, the religious people that you had on.
Yes, indeed.
Do you find any common denominator among them?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I don't think there's any particularly more common denominator among the very, very diverse religious people we've had on the program than among other groups of people. I mean, obviously, like among all politicians, there is a concern to get certain things done, and also a concern to be re-elected. Obviously, among all the religious leaders, there is a concern, for instance, with God and the congregation. I mean, obviously, this sort of thing. But other than those things, I don't think there's particularly any. I've always been a great believer in the fact that religion is a much more popular subject than people usually give it credit for. That's why I think we have many more, probably, religious leaders on our program than on some talk programs, because I believe that faith, or the absence of it, is a very, very important thing in everybody's life. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that church going is, for instance, an important thing in everyone's life, because obviously, statistically, it isn't. However, faith, or what people have substituted for faith, is a key issue, the spiritual dimension in everybody's life. Now, they may have retained their religious faith, basic Christian faith, or they may have substituted for it a belief in psychiatry, or in the perfectibility of man, or astrology, or anything. But what people have done with their spiritual dimension is important to everyone, because when you come down to the gut questions, what are we here for, do we live after we die, and so on, these are obviously questions that, if only in the still small hours of the morning, most people ask themselves at one time or another. And we're dealing here with the basic hows and whys of life. These, it seemed to me, in the last resort, everybody cares about.
Mr. Frost, what sort of a guest do you think Jesus might be if you could have him on a program?
What a fascinating question. Well, I suppose his long hair would appall some of the audience. But
he's familiar with others, though.
Yes, indeed. But I would say, in fact, that, I mean, of course, he'd be tremendous. Now, I mean, it goes without saying, and it's almost that, well, I mean, you notice my pause. I mean, it's a mind-boggling thought. I mean, of course, through history, I mean, of everybody, of anyone that one could wish to have on a program, that one would want to talk to Jesus Christ, most of all, as the Son of God, and most of all, well, I mean, the well, I just, 90 minutes wouldn't be enough.
What sort of questions would you perhaps want to ask him?
I think that the most interesting question to ask him now would be, in the light of the experience of the world in the last 2,000 years, would you rewrite anything you said 2,000 years ago? Were the tactics you chose right? Was there too much emphasis on man's better instincts? Would you have put a greater element of discipline? Would you put a greater element of love into the into your preaching? And assuming that the quotes are accurate in the Bible about the way that man was left free to choose, and therefore man was left free to choose the right path or the wrong path, and if he could have had the power to ordain that everybody chose the right path, does he now wish that he hadn't left so many millions free to choose the wrong?
Do you have any idea what the answer would be?
I guess the answer would be that only by a man exercising his free and voluntary will to do good is it any good doing good, and so you've got to give him that freedom. But I mean, he would need to say more clearly than he ever said before, because this is the question that really keeps a lot of people away from belief, I think. How it is that a loving God, while giving free will to enable people to choose, can also give them free will to lead a life that is miserable, and how a loving God, even though there's a reason for it, how a loving God can really countenance misery.
Thank you very much, Mr. David Frost, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint.
It's been a delight.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview produced by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church and presented in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and the Council of Churches of the City of New York as a news and public affairs program of the station. Today's guest was David Frost, television performer, film producer, writer, and host of The David Frost Show.